And here with Oddloop Svensson of the band Communic, and, you know, talking a bit about the band and what you have going on. Oddloop, what do you got going on so far? And, you know, what is Communic currently up to?
The album came out last year, in the end of last year, and it's been going really good, actually. We have done a lot of interviews, and the reviews has been really good, and we have played a few shows and done something like that. We have been actually looking for a bigger tour to join, but there was some complications, so we couldn't complete on that. But other than that, we are still meeting up and playing songs, and I'm working on new songs for something later, and we have a few concerts coming up as well now in the beginning of June. We have one, and so there's constantly a thing that we are working on, and so
what is this album about, and, you know, what did you write some of the song lyrics and some of these songs about?
It's about a lot of things, but it's based around the destructive behavior of mankind and the effects of our actions and what we do with our lives. I'm a little bit influenced, or maybe I like when watching the news and see what's going on in the world, and all that stuff that goes around us is kind of getting to me, and I try to write small stories about stuff like that. it's about how small we are in the big picture, in the big large cosmic picture, if you think of it. And whatever we do in life that matters to me or you go work out, I write music and compose, we bring up children, and everything that we do in life is kind of echoing, telling our story long after you are gone.
Yeah.
Because human life is a short short kind of period for in the big picture. And it's about our connection to the earth, the stars and the moon, our forefathers' connection to the earth. Because I've been kind of inspired by how it was before, how is this modern world making us lose our connection to the earth, actually, and what goes around it. It's the internet and the electricity and everything that goes on. You and me talking here on the other side of the planet is you can see it in the artwork as well. You see this guy on the top of a planet planting its flag. It's like the race to conquer the highest mountain or conquer new worlds or new lands, and in the end you are just draining the resources. And you see in the bottom of the planet, everything is like draining out, but we tend to just see what goes around in our own sphere or bubble, and kind of neglects to kind of lift your head up and see what goes around elsewhere. So there's a lot of questions about life and death, because I'm really kind of I've had my encounters with death so many times, and I kind of get inspired by that and our way of surviving, I guess, and finding back to. But it's more about everybody's kind of focusing on their own success, and everything is like focusing on what's going on just around yourself, and for me it was like looking into or finding back to the pulse of the earth is one of the songs there, and you kind of finding back to the roots in one way or another. And we also did this with some of the songs, because many of these songs are pretty old. And it was kind of finding back to the roots in some way.
Now, I have to say that there really isn't anything out there that sounds like you guys. Like, you know, when I listen to Communic, you know, the closest band that I can think of that sounds like you would be Nevermore. but, you know, obviously you guys don't sound like them, you know, 100%. And there's just so many influences in your music and so many weird time changes. I can't even predict where one of your songs is going to go. And you know, what are some bands and artists that have influenced you over the years? And, you know, and maybe some other, you know, some of the other members. I mean, what are some of the other, you know, influences some of the other members of the band may have as well?
It's kind of, yeah, of course we have been compared to Nevermore and Sanctuary and stuff like that, but I think that is basically around the way I'm singing, and I can understand that, and mostly I take that as a compliment. But music-wise, we don't have any borders. We try to just do whatever we want and take us where our imagination or challenge takes us. And we don't do this for money, because then we would have played something more easy, I guess, or more, yeah. But it's kind of, we don't have any rules. We just try to do whatever comes to us and try to make some interesting stories. And we are only three people in this band, and everything is kind of being influenced by those members, because I write most of the music, but I don't sit down and write the bass for the bass player, for Eric, and I don't write the drum patterns for Tor. So when I have an idea, I can make a demo at home with drums and everything, but I don't show that to the other guys. I just show them the riffs, and we play together in like the old way. You know, nowadays you can make everything on a computer and just show the finished product and let everybody in the band, hey, you just have to play like this, play it like this, because it's done, and then you can rush into studio and complete it. But we do it, or like to do it, the old-fashioned way, and that is just having a few riffs and go to rehearsal and play together. And when you play together, you have, at least we have, found that kind of magic that makes the songs evolve, and the ideas that I originally had evolve into something else, because I'm not a drummer, and I know that Tor is capable of making the drums or the part even more interesting than my original idea. And then Eric is adding his stuff, and that's also why the song is turning out to be in the end 8 or 9 or 10 minutes, because my original idea was maybe just 4 minutes, and everything is kind of evolving, and new ideas is coming from that first idea, and we have jam sessions, and we just play out, and I think that is what makes it unique, I think. And we are, as I said, we are three people in the band, and we kind of find that, searching for that dynamic, that ups and downs, something is heavy, something is slower, something is maybe more ballad kind of things, but then it goes into more heavy stuff again, and the tempos goes ups and downs, and we try not to use too much tempo tracks when we do stuff, and we don't have any playbacks, so it's kind of a little bit the old way of doing it, and I think that is what helps us out. But back to your question, actually, what bands that have influenced us is, I guess it's because we are so different. Because I was, or are, when I started listening to getting into the metal, it was like the early 90s American thrash metal bands. It was Megadeth, Testament, and later on I got more into the progressive stuff. So it's, for me, it's a combination of that. And Eric is more of the Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, Rush kind of guy. And Tor is more Machine Head, and even more modern kind of metal. So when you combine all these different ideas and make something that everybody in the band likes, it kind of turns out unique in a way. And I think it's cool that you say that not that many other bands sounds like us, but it's not that we try to sound like anyone else either, because if we wanted to sound more like Nevermore, we could just switch to seven strings and do that and try to do that. But that is not our goal. We want to find our kind of sound, and I think that we have managed to do that. And all the way since our first album back in 2005 or something like that, yeah.
It's interesting you talk about the Bay Area scene because, you know, every time I go to interview an artist like yourself, I go back and listen to a lot of the music that you've done. And I remember I was going to listen to Payment of Existence, and I had just gotten done. I just got finished listening to a Testament album. And, you know, when I was listening to it, you know, I went from listening to that to you guys, and it almost seems to me that I hear that Bay Area influence in a lot of your riffing and a lot of the stuff that you're playing on guitar. But at the same time, you don't sound like those bands. You know, it's very, very difficult to really predict, as I said before, to really predict where one of your songs, you know, where one of your songs is going to go. Especially, obviously, when I first listened to it.
But it's not like we don't try to be progressive. It's more like that when we are playing together, we are kind of challenging ourselves and trying to maybe not count to four, make some other different countings. But in the end, we don't actually know what we do. We don't sit down and, hey, this is 4/7 beats, or this is... It's like... That's something that we figure out later on when we go into the studio and try. We have to make the click tracks and everything. Then, oh, what the hell is happening here? Mm-hmm. And because we learn the songs by playing it and playing together. We don't write anything down. We don't, yeah. So it's, for us, it's just playing on the feelings and emotions and yeah. So, but for me, I think it's been my biggest guitar and singing influences is probably coming from the Bay Area and Dave Mustaine playing guitar and singing at the same time and even though I've never tried to sound like that but I think the inspiration is coming from there. So, but in the beginning, we was looking for vocalists and stuff, but it just ended up that I had to do it myself because we couldn't find anyone to do it. So, yeah. So it's a challenge to play this stuff and singing at the same time because I try to do different patterns with the guitar and that kind of separates from the singing. So it's not, you have to separate your mind in a way and think. Guitar with one half of the brain and vocals with the other half. So it's a bit challenging. And as long as we are just three people, you don't have that second guitar to hide behind if you play mistakes and stuff. But mm-hmm. Usually I'm more into trying to deliver the performance than actually playing it 100% like correct, if you know what I mean. I'm trying to express the emotion and the feeling, and sometimes that goes on behalf of playing correct or yeah.
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. You know, this is probably my favorite album by you guys, and I have to ask, you know, you were talking earlier about how some of these songs were, you know, basically they were older songs that you never used. What took you so long to use them?
You know, I constantly write new stuff. And almost every day I'm putting some new idea into either my phone or into my studio recording software. So there's constantly something creative going on. And I just put it in the archive, and something is like complete songs and something turns out just to be bits and pieces. Before we released Conspiracy in Mind, I had some songs that I was actually really happy with, but I had kind of left behind because I was working on the stuff that went into Conspiracy in Mind. And when we was finished with Conspiracy in Mind, we just continued with new songs and kind of the old stuff was kind of, I never felt that I gave it a chance. And I think we was in 2014 or something like that, we was kind of not going anywhere because we are, Thor was getting his son, twin daughters, and I got my son, and we kind of, there is no way we can go out and tour now anyway. We just need to be home and focus on family life and our daytime jobs and stuff like that. And I actually felt now is the time to go back and revisit those old stuff, because I felt that I had, there was something there that I wanted people to hear. And all this new stuff that I have, or, well, new stuff is like the last 10 years, I think, that I have lying around, is that could wait. And I wanted to go back and do this and do it properly. And so we did that, but we did it like strip everything down, riff by riff, throw away some of them, and recreated everything like if it was recreated today. And I wrote mostly new lyrics to everything, because I was kind of focusing on or inspired by different things now than when I was like 18. So for me, it was like a journey to go back and complete the echoes, because that's also where the title comes, Echoes, and where echoes gather, because I wanted to get it out and complete it. And there are still some songs that I think that I still need to go back and do, but I don't know if it will be like end up on a new Communic album or something else, but I really need to do the other songs as well, probably, but maybe that will be just for bonus tracks or whatever. So yeah, mm-hmm. Let's see. But it's cool that so many people like them, because I was kind of, yeah, you never know where this is, how people would react to the idea of, hey, well, why don't you make new songs and leave the past behind? But for me, it was like something that I actually needed to do to kind of proceed. And most of the new songs that a few days ago, I was kind of putting the finishing touch to brand new songs, but that will probably end up on a Communic album, like not the next one, and maybe not the next one, but maybe the next one after there, because there's so many. I have so many. I think on my computer now I have 4 or 5 folders with complete songs in for. Yeah, it could be a solo album, it could be Communic, it could be whatever, but it depends on how it goes, because when I take these songs and go to the other, because the other guys in the band hasn't heard these ideas yet, so it needs to be processed in the same way. But it took us 6 years, because it's combined with the bringing up children and having daytime jobs and all the stuff that goes around. Yeah, that's how it is.
Now, was the family thing and everybody having kids and everything, is that the reason that, you know, it basically maybe took you, you know, 5 or 6 years to put this new album out?
Yeah, I don't feel that we took some time off, because we actually was more or less having songs for an album ready. And when we found out that, hey, we don't want to go into the studio now anyway, so we could go back and work on these old songs, and we just tossed or put the other songs into the archives again. So for us it was more, we were still practicing, we were still meeting up once a week to play together, and we did festivals and we played shows, and we never had a break. We was just taking it slow, because we knew that we wanted to kind of and we was also, it took a long time with the figuring out the deal with the Nuclear Blast, because we had one more album left on the contract with Nuclear Blast, and they actually had spent almost a year deciding if they actually wanted to release this, and they never actually asked for songs or anything. It was more, have we been away too long to to, like, they felt that they needed to start fresh or, yeah, start all over again. And so all the legal stuff with the label and finding a new label and figuring out how to proceed was actually also took a lot of time. So to get everything right and signing a new contract and being sure that we are doing the right thing with the new company, and yeah, so there's a lot of stuff that takes a long time. So yeah.
You know, Norway, where you're from, is really not known for really having a lot of power metal bands. You know, mainly people know Norway for death metal and black metal. You know, and you do have some people that are not part of that. You know, Pagan's Mind, obviously, Jorn Land is from there. You know, got Conception. And there's a few bands that aren't black metal, but, you know, you guys have an interesting metal scene. It's pretty unique. And talk a bit about what the Norwegian metal scene is like and, you know, the fact that, you know, maybe most of these power metal bands, most of you guys really aren't that well known. It's mainly known for black metal.
Yeah, you know, Norway, when we talk to journalists and people around the world, they kind of see Norway as this big black metal country, and they kind of wonder how could there be a metal band up here that is not growling or, yeah. So most of the history up here is coming from that extreme scene. And also where I live, there is only 14,000 people here, and there is not that many bands playing. But of course in Kristiansand, we have the closest town here. It's we have Green Carnation, and that is also a great band that is like good friends with us and has done good things. And as you said, Pagan's Mind, they are not so far from here. And also, as you said, Conception and stuff. But there's not that many bands like that. It's. I think the thrash metal scene is bigger now. Now Dimmu Borgir and Immortal and all those old school bands are also still jamming it out. But where I live, there is no scene at all. It's not that many bands, and not that easy to play concerts. And if you are playing a gig here, it's only in the weekends, and you have to, yeah. So for us, the biggest scene for us to go and play that is Germany and in Europe. So cool, the new Conception, I am. Good hopes for. Looking forward to that.
Communics is one of those bands in the U.S. that you don't really hear much about, but do you get a lot of fan reaction from the United States? I mean, over here in the USA, do you get a lot of people writing you? I know you played at Prog Power not long ago, but, you know, do you guys have a decent, somewhat of a fan base over here, and do you guys ever have anybody writing you, you know, from the U.S.?
Yeah, we get some emails and we get some requests and we get there's been some we have sent to quite some people from, we have our own small web shop where we can sign albums and send out, and there has been a good reaction from the States, I think. And also when we played Atlanta 1 year, many years ago, the Prog Power. That was also a really great feedback after that show. So I would really love to go back there and play, but it's kind of difficult to actually go to the States and actually do a proper tour and get the visas that you need. And everything is kind of just difficult, I think. And if we should do it, we need to tag along with a bigger band. Like, we could have done it with Evergrey, we could have done it with some other European band that was heading over there, but so far we haven't found that one or got that package to do it. But for me, I would have done it, and if the opportunity comes, I think we should jump on it. But we don't know until we are there on the stage to see if people meet up and actually want to see us over there. So. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I've only played there once, and that was for a sold-out show in Atlanta at the Prog Power Festival. I think it was in 2007 or 2008 or something like that.
Now, it took a long time for you guys to come out with this last album. You know, have you guys, you know, as a band, do you have a timetable maybe of when you want to put the next record out? And, you know, at the same time, you know, have you set that time? Do you guys work on a timetable, or does it work out mainly, hey, you know what, when the album comes out, it comes out?
I think it's just up to us. If it would be, for me, it would be ideal to have already a new album, yeah, in 2019 or 2020, and not wait longer than that. That is the ideal stuff. So that is what I'm aiming for, and I always try. My original goals would be to every second year have a new album out. That would be ideal. But then there are some bumps in the road that you don't see, and hopefully that will not happen this time. And I have a lot of ideas for the concept and for the stuff that I want to add on the next album. So hopefully it will not take 6 years, but it can't take so long.
Right.
Again, we need to kind of keep the momentum up, and also we are, well, I'm these days I'm building a new studio, so hopefully we can be able to do more of the actual recordings ourselves and be a little bit more efficient and productive that way, because I'm building the studio so we can record the drums and everything ourselves, and not only the guitars and vocals like we have done on the last two albums. I've done the guitars and the bass and the vocals in my own studio, but I'm building a new one now, so with the new drum room and everything, so hopefully that would be a good creative space where we can be a little bit more efficient on the release kind of things. And I also have some songs and stuff that I want to record, not for the band, or just to put on YouTube and get it out there. So that would be much easier when I have my own place set up, away from the house and away from the kids. And
right.
Yeah. So that is that's also taking some time now to complete that building and complete that build of the new studio. So putting a lot of stuff into that now. Yeah.
And speaking of production, you know, you guys have had some pretty great sounding records over the last, you know, few releases. And, you know, let's delve a little bit into that as well.
I've always been kind of fascinated by the producing stuff myself, all the way since the early demos. I was kind of into doing the recordings myself, but we have always tried to use producers that have kind of a different air, or kind of helping you to get to the next level and take your ideas give it that little extra. And on the first album, we worked with Jacob Hansen, and he was doing the recording and mixing of the first two. And on the Payment of Existence, we had some trouble to travel away. We needed to do the recordings here in a local studio, and then Jacob was mixing it. So that was the first time that we actually recorded it on a different studio and then brought it to a guy just to mix it. When we did The Bottom Deep, I did the production, decided to do the producing side myself. So we recorded the drums in one studio, in like a pro studio, and then did the vocals and guitar and bass in my studio, and started to build my own kind of studio, because I felt, well, the comfort of being in your own zone and record whenever you kind of feel inspired, or when you have the energy, or when you have time off, instead of going for 20 days into the studio and you have to be done. So it has kind of evolved all over the years, but I like to, in the end, send it to someone else that could put the final touch on it, and maybe listen to it with their own ears and make some different choices than I probably would have done myself, but to the better. On this new album, we went with a new guy because I got in touch with him after, well, let's see, I think after I heard the Triple X album of Kai Hansen. I really liked the sound of that album, and I was kind of looking into who was mixing it, and I found the guy and sent him an email, and he was too busy to actually do it, and he wrote me back a few days later and said that he had a cancellation in the studio so he could do the mix. Anyway, so that was how we ended up with the new mixer, Ike Fosse, on this last one. And I think he did a fantastic job turning our recorded sound into whatever it sounds on the album. So, but I like to kind of do it my own as well, but I like to also have some second opinions on stuff, and to just to be sure that it's as professional as it should be.
Now, do you have any last words for the fans that are going to be checking out this interview?
Yeah, you have. I hope they give the album some time. Maybe if you listen to it just quickly, it will kind of blow over you or doesn't get into you. But if you give it some time, I think it will open up and kind of present some interesting new ideas and emotions and power. So check it out.